welcome to Dungeon Stories, everybody. It is so good to be back playing D&D once again. Here at the top of our show, we'd like to take a moment to say thank you to a couple of our friends, those friends being D&D Beyond, for allowing us to make our character sheets and allowing me to make encounters with monsters in order to play D&D. And we'd also like to thank Roll20, because Roll20 allows us to host our games online, remotely, and that's really cool, especially in our current day and age, where getting together with people is not as easy as it once was. It's really nice to have this option, especially because we don't all live in the same place anymore. It's very nice to be able to play online. So thank you to Roll20, thank you to D&D Beyond. Really great to call you our friends. Thank you to Hero Forge for letting us make these really cool-looking tokens of our characters. Hero Forge is a great custom miniature-making software website. Go to heroforge.com to check them out. You can design your hero any way that you'd like. They have fantasy, modern, western, sci-fi, basically anything that you can think of, any genre that you would want to delve into to make characters for. Hero Forge has you covered, so check them out as well. And with that, we should introduce ourselves. My name is Norin, and I am your Dungeon Master.
My name is Ethan. I'm playing Azel the Monk.
My name is Jenny, and I am playing Alonzo the Paladin.
My name is Michael, and I am playing Aaron the Wizard.
All right. Well, with that, let's go ahead and recap last session. So last we played, the party decided to investigate the Barley Root family first and ask them about their missing children. In doing so, they learned that the Barley Roots had lost their twins about a week after purchasing a rug, two vases, and a handful of little toys from the Elfrona sisters. Luella Barley Root seemed to hint that she thought the Stonefort family, the proprietors of the newly established Stonefort Cafe, bore cause for inspection by the group. Aaron's detect magic showed auras of divination magic emanating from each of the items the family had bought from the Elfrona sisters, as well as a faint aura of necromancy from one of the vases. While attempting to dispose of the items for the Barley Roots, two little green oozes launched from the vases, as well as a flying eye that was hiding inside one of them. During the battle, a stray firebolt caused the rug to catch fire, which quickly began to spread throughout the Barley Roots' living room. After defeating the enemies, the party quickly leapt into action, putting out the flames. After a while and many buckets of water, the flames were stopped, and the Barley Root family was safe. The group made their way back into Rubbleton to recuperate and begin the next phase of their expedition. So, in Rubbleton, you have a couple of options here. At this point in time, the time that it spent you to put out all the fires and stuff like that, and the travel out to the outskirts to the farm area and back, that took a little while. So at this point, it is probably around 3 or 4 p.m., so you're nearing close to dinner time. You have a couple of leads to follow. You still have the Farthington family, one of the other families among the first two victims. And you also have the Stonefort family, the owners of the Stonefort Cafe that the Barley Roots had mentioned. So it's up to you what you would like to do next. Azel, you also have a dinner appointment with Finn. So whichever leads you would like to follow, you are back in Rubbleton proper, surrounded by the cobblestone streets and the swaying lanterns. What would you like to do?
Azel would probably suggest the stone to check out the Stonefort Cafe.
Yeah, that sounds like a good course of action.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So the Stoneforts, You probably have to ask around a little bit to get directions there, since you're not super familiar with Rebelton. You guys haven't been here before, so. But after asking around, people are happy to kind of give you a direction to head in. However, asking for them, you do get... You can kind of tell who is local when you ask, who has kind of a loyalty to Rebelton, because much like the Barley Roots, there tends to be a little bit of distaste for these stone forts as you ask for them. People are kind of like, oh, you want to eat there? The first couple of people that you ask, when you ask them for the Stone Fort Cafe, they'll start with saying, oh, you should check out the Rubble Rouser. And you have to say, no, I've been there. I want to see the Stone Forts. And you have to kind of explain that to people. But eventually, you know, you ask a couple of people, one or two, and you manage to get pretty clear directions to the Stone Fort Cafe. It is a few streets off of the main market, a couple blocks down, so it's not right in the thick of things. It's a little more out of the way, closer to sort of a residential area. But when you arrive, there is no doubt that you have arrived at this cafe, because it has a stacked stone fence outside of it that comes up about 3 feet tall. And the top of the fence is not level all the way across. It kind of has these bumps in it that are meant to emanate the battlements of a castle or a fort. And within the little yard that is fenced off by this wall, there are four tables with umbrellas over the top of them. And there is a sign kind of swaying in the slight breeze. A wooden panel that has the painting of, like, a watchtower on the top of it. And it says Stone Fort Cafe. So you know that you've reached the right place. Two of the tables out front are occupied. One of them is occupied by a human family, the other by an elven couple that looks to be on a date. They look to be kind of looking into each other's eyes and leaning in over the table. And
So there's this outdoor area, but also likely an indoor area, correct?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, there is an open door. The door looks to be propped open by a rock holding it open. And there are people inside. You can see movement about on the inside of this building. So it does look like they have indoor seating as well.
Okay.
Hazel would just walk in.
I follow.
Right through the door.
I'll follow after them.
Okay. Awesome. So the three of you walk in, and there is a wooden podium set up a little bit inside the door, and there is a human girl, looks to be in her teens, maybe 17 or 18, and she has a clipboard, and as you walk in, she says, hi, welcome to the Stone Fort Cafe. A party of three for you today, it looks like.
Party of three.
All right, well, we do have a table open, so just follow me. And she reaches and she grabs a couple pieces of parchment off the stand next to her, and they look to be menus, and she leads you through the restaurant. And it is not super busy in here. You're still a little early for dinner time, so you probably haven't hit the dinner rush yet. But it's not super busy. There are probably six other tables filled out of a total of 25 in here. So she leads you to an empty table, asks you to take a seat. She asks, do you need anything to drink? Can I get you started with anything to drink here?
I like to have a water if you have access.
Some fresh water, that would be great.
All right. And for you?
have a cup of your strongest ale.
All right, two waters and a very strong ale coming up. And she hurries off. You have probably a couple minutes before she comes back. Is there anything you guys want to discuss in the interim before she returns with drinks?
I'd probably, like, take my spell scroll and, like, prop it up on the inside of the menu. So it looks like I'm looking at my menu, but I'm, like, just tracing and marking and casting Detect Magic.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, looking very intently at my menu.
Yeah, it's the old Temple Run behind the history book in the back of the class. you've got your menu popped up, and it is the menu. It doesn't fold open. It is like a single sheet of parchment. So you're kind of holding up a single piece of paper and like have a book open behind it. Why don't you make a sleight of hand check for me? Let's just see how well you pull this off.
That sounds great. Yeah, so first roll, let's see. Ooh, well, I rolled a natural 2, so it is going to be a total of 5.
Your book is much wider than the menu, so the edges of it are pretty plainly in view. But you're a little too focused in on your ritual to take a lot of notice of that fact.
Good enough.
Azel will probably start discussing. Did you guys find anything over there at the Barley Roots place? Other than the slimes in the eye.
Alondra will say, yes, actually, when I went to look outside, I found a piece of seaweed and a fragment of nail that looked to be like the hands that attacked us when we went to the gentleman's house, and she'll pull out the long nail to show Azel and Aaron.
Oh, well, that's something.
You found seaweed?
Yes.
We're nowhere close to sea, though.
True, but I asked Miss... What is her name again?
Barley Root. Luella Barley Root?
Miss Barley Root, who might have seaweed in this part of the region, and they said this family. So... definitely going to ask them the question of who supplies them seaweed.
What are we going to do if they say the Eltronis sisters?
Well, then that's a lead.
Right. Didn't you say that there was necrotic energy, Aaron? Like, in the pot?
There was. Yeah, and I'm trying to see now if I can find that same energy, but you're right. There is some sort of energy that is at least indicative of this, whatever influence or fiend we are facing here. I don't know anything about the seaweed, though. That's new.
I see. Sorry, I'm trying to get my mind around it. Just one plant, I guess. But I don't
know. No, Azel, I couldn't tell you.
Well, I was kind of hoping you would.
Well, that's why we're here.
Okay, then.
About this time, the girl comes back and she has a plate that has 2 glasses of water and 1 tankard of ale. She hands them out, and she places the ale in front of you, Alondra. And she says, have you had a chance to look over the menus? Do you know what you want to order yet, or do you need a little bit more time?
I'll be good, thanks. I already have plans for dinner.
Oh, okay. She looks at Aaron and Alondra, and she says, "For the two of you."
I'll take the boar. That sounds good. Boar stew.
All right.
I'll take whatever you serve with seaweed, please.
Yes. All right, we can do that, certainly.
I'll have you know that Aaron did not even look at the menu. He just guessed that they would have boar.
Yeah, she says, yeah, I'll have that out as soon as it's ready. Just sit tight.
Oh, hey, can I ask a question?
Yes, of course.
Have you met the Stoneforts?
Well, yes, they employ me. They're my bosses.
Likely story. Okay. How would you describe them?
They're interesting. They're not from around here. They come from Anathes originally.
Huh.
So they moved here not too long ago. But you know, I think it's just a little bit of different cultures, but they're nice enough. Why?
Okay, that's all.
Are you looking to apply or something? What's?
No.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to know. Okay, bye.
Okay, sorry I asked. She'll turn and leave. About 20 minutes pass before your food comes out. So Aaron, in this time, your detect magic will pop off. And you do not notice any magic within the range of the spell.
Okay. I'd imagine that I would have, like, went to the restroom or something in the middle of that to increase the range.
Yeah, kind of walked around. You get up and your eyes are kind of glowing blue with these little blue trails of smoke coming off of your eyes. And you...
Oh my God.
I guess you really had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you kind of take a lap and there does not seem to be any of that aura that you're looking for around
here. Cool. Then, yeah, I'll pass that down when I sit back down. You're like, oh, there doesn't appear to be any of the necrotic energy, at least. So that's good.
Yeah. Do you think
that's
that
a good
would
sign?
So different from house, but I don't get the seaweed part. I'm sorry, it's still bothering me. What'd you get with seaweed, Alondra?
I don't know. I'm hoping that will be a good opener for my question about where they get the seaweed from.
Did the food come out?
Not yet.
Yeah, we're still talking. I don't even like seaweed.
Why don't you? Okay. I've never tried it.
It's okay.
You might like it a little better. You should try it, Azel.
Why would I like it?
I don't know. You just seem like the type of seaweed guy to me. You know,
thanks,
one with the earth and everything.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. Thanks for calling me the seaweed guy.
Is that how you describe yourself? One with the earth, Azel?
No.
One with the earth.
not with the air. No. I mean, I lived in a jungle for a long time, but sheesh. I wouldn't eat seaweed.
One with the air. One with the earth, see? Exactly.
I'm not one with the air. What do you even mean by that?
No one just lives in the jungle.
I do. Me and my mama.
Okay, about this time, she walks out, and she's got two plates, one in each hand. One of them is a very nice-looking boar steak. It is a large slab of boar ribs slathered in some kind of sauce. You can smell it, and it is... It smells great. There is... It has notes of ale. It has notes of something a little bit spicy and tangy in it as you smell it. She sets it down in front of you, and it is just steaming as it sits down.
Ugh.
And it looks fantastic. For you, Alondra, she brings out a plate that has a bed of seaweed on it. And on top of it, it looks to be a slab of some kind of fish that looks to be grilled and seasoned. And it's got some fresh herbs on top, like some parsley. Ooh. And there's a lemon wedge next to it. You're not sure what kind of fish it is. But it is a nice looking slab of a fish that looks to be well dressed. And it has a bed of seaweed that it's resting on. She sets them down and she says, "Well, does everything look all right?"
Looks delicious, thank you.
It's giving me second thoughts. Hey, where'd you get this seaweed?
You know, I'm not really the one in charge of shipments, but I believe we get a wagon that comes from Westport, and they bring boxes that has, you know, crates of food. So same place we get the fish, they just kind of put some preserves on it, I guess, to make it last the trip, and then...
Is that the Alfronis sisters? Is that about the same caravan, or is that a separate one?
No, the Alfronis sisters are a different lot. The Alfronis sisters are kind of a private, it's just the two of them traveling. This is a merchant caravan, they import goods. So not just here, but other places around the city and other cities along the road. So,
okay. Well, thank you for quenching my curiosity.
Yeah.
Hey, my palate. Can I have another glass of water? And Hazel just chugs it. And
oh, of course. I'll be right back with that. Just if you don't mind me asking, what about are you? Are you trying to catch the Alfronis sisters? You know, you looking to buy from them, or?
I just never met them, so I'm looking forward just to meet them.
Oh, well, yeah, they're something. They're bright and cheery, and it's always a show when they come into town. So
bright and cheery, not like old Haggish, got a humpback and like.
Nope. No?
No?
Well, one of them is... Wow. One of them is a little bit... She's not the most, not the most well-sculpted, you could say. One of them, the older one, is a thing of beauty. Just the most gorgeous person you've ever seen. The younger one... It looks like maybe all that got used up on her older sister. But,
oof.
You'll understand what I mean if you see him.
Okay.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Yeah, of course. I'll be right back out with that water.
Thank you.
She leaves and comes back and with a fresh glass covered in condensation from the ice.
Ooh.
Very proper.
Fancy.
Ice.
I'm just going to dig into my meal and have a great meal.
Oh yeah. It is. It's so good. It's almost kind of like a red curry taste to it. So it's like a little bit of exotic spice. That curry spice mixes just so good with the flavor from the ale. They mesh together so well. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Elandra, yours is I mean, it's if you don't like seaweed, you probably aren't the biggest fan of this, but the fish itself is cooked good enough that you can kind of overlook the seaweed taste. It has a wonderful blend of seasonings on it, and if you squeeze the lemon wedge over the top, it has just the right bit of tart to mix with the savory from all the spices. It's good. It's passable. You were definitely worried about it because of the seaweed, but the fishy taste of the seaweed doesn't quite carry through once you mix it with the seasonings and the lemon.
Oh, okay.
And Azel, your thirst is quenched.
Perfect. That's what I was worried about.
That's some Fiji water right there, some Voss you have your hands on.
I'd be drinking good tonight.
Beats continual soup, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Continual soup. Oh, from the hole.
All right. Anything else, guys, while you're here at the restaurant?
No, that'd be it for me. Besides preparing for our next part. Azel, you're going to split off and take your own dinner? Is that?
Yeah, I already made plans for dinner. I helped this guy out. He was super drunk, so I just helped him home, and he invited me for dinner. So, you guys are more than welcome to come. I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
I personally need to go by the paladins again.
Got it. Well, Alondra?
Thank you, but I have some sightseeing to do.
Okay. Well, we should all find out how are we going to meet again. What time are we going to regroup? Are we just going to regroup in the morning? What's the call?
Oh, that sounds good. We could check in tonight and see where we're at.
Perfect.
Are you spending the night at this place or at the tavern?
I'll be at the tavern.
I will as well.
Perfect. So.
All right, then there we go. All
right. Solid. Good luck, Azel.
Thank you. Good luck. Thank you. And Azel's just gonna get up. He's gonna put a couple silver coins. Seaweed. Silver coins on the table and then head out. Not like paying for the water, but like tip.
Yeah.
The water's free.
No, it's Voss water. You have to pay.
God damn it. Okay. Another two silver
Funny
coins.
Enough, it's more expensive than the boar.
All right. So the total bill is going to come to 2 gold. For Alondra and Aaron.
I'll drop a gold.
I'll drop a gold.
Okay, cool.
It expensive,
yeah, and Azel left the tip. So Azel is heading out to Finn's. You guys are still enjoying your meals, but after you finish up, where are you headed? Aaron, you're heading to the Paladins.
Yeah.
Alondra, what's your plan?
I will probably head back to the tavern just to ask around for, the museum place that, Torrent kind of said I could go to find something.
Okay, great. Alright, so Azel, let's start with you. So you remember how to get to Finn's. It takes a little bit of remembering from you because a good portion of your journey there was going the same block over and over and over again. But you're able to piece your way back to his place. So you see Finn's house is... It looks sort of like a cabin almost. It's mainly large pieces of timber. accessorized and kind of punctuated with large stones to kind of help keep things in place. But this is the place.
Perfect. Azel's just gonna walk up and he's gonna, Mr. Finn.
Okay. The door opens and you see Finn, the little deep gnome with his dark gray blue skin, large bulbous nose, looks like it may have been broken a couple of times. He's bald and clean shaven. And you notice that his right eye, it was a little hard to tell in the dark when you first met him, but now that you're seeing him in bright light, you can see that his right eye has a scar going over it and is gray like it's blind. In his right eye. He opens up the door and he's revealing a surprisingly well-decorated house. His floor is polished wood and he has a blue armchair in front of the fireplace. There's an end table next to the armchair that's piled high with books. In the far right corner of the room, there's a wooden mannequin that is dressed in a suit of chainmail, and there is a sword and shield on the wall behind the armor. And then in the other corner of the room, in the far left corner, there is a small wooden dining table with three chairs around it. He opens up the door, he sees you, and he says, Azel, it's good to see you again. Please, take a seat.
Perfect. Thank you for having me, Mr. Finn.
Of course. Yes, I hope you like it. I made something special for you.
What'd you make?
You'll see in just a second. I don't want to ruin the surprise.
Okay.
So he gestures for you to sit down at the table. There is a door on the left wall. He slips through it, and then he returns, carrying a ceramic plate in two hands. On this plate are 8 muffin-sized pastries. It looks to be kind of a thin, almost like wonton-esque pastry sheet around it, and they look to be stuffed with something. He sets them down, and as he does, you can smell this really rich, savory, earthy smell coming from them. He says, I hope you like mushrooms. These Trillimac pods are a Svirfneblin delicacy. Trillimax are super rare fungi, little mushrooms that grow in the Umbral Caverns, in the Underdark. And they are the best mushrooms that you will ever taste, and extremely hard to come by. I save them for special occasions. But these Trillimac pods here, they are... You know, we only bust them out for holidays or special occasions. We don't make these for just anybody, so... Count yourself lucky, son.
Special occasion, huh? And Azel's just gonna pick it up and pop one in his mouth.
Okay. Yeah, you take a bite into it, and they're kind of like... They're almost like large ravioli. And they're stuffed with a mushroom and cheese ragu, so it's... It's like a thick, kind of like ricotta-esque creamy cheese and mushrooms, and it's something that you've not quite tasted before. It's deep and earthy and rich and cheesy and totally perfectly creamy. As you take your first bite and kind of experience this, he ducks back into the kitchen. He comes out with 2 large mugs of a deep caramel-colored ale, and he sets it down on the table in front of you. And then he pulls up a chair and he sees you chewing and he says, so, what do you think?
It's amazing, Mr. Finn. I've never had anything like this in my life.
Yeah. I knew you wouldn't have. Well, I'm glad you like it. Taste the beer. It pairs wonderfully.
Yeah, and Azel will follow the instruction and just sip at it.
This is a really dark, rich ale. So it's very kind of bitter and catches you in kind of makes your eyes flutter a little bit. But so I'm not sure if Azel is a light or a dark beer person, but this is among the darkest beer that you've ever had. But if you like dark beer, it's really good.
Oh boy, it's good. He's trying to like Matt like.
It might be a bit strong for you, son. Oh well. At any rate, I'm glad you like the food. And he's gonna bite into one as well, and he says, "Take as many as you want. There's enough for us to dig in." So.
Yeah, he's gonna grab another, but before he bites, he's gonna ask. So, how'd you get to the Underdark, Mr. Finn?
Well, I'm from there.
Yep.
Big
brains.
Yes.
Big brain questions.
Born and raised, I spent a good portion of my life down there, and I'll tell you, down there in the underworld is not an easy place to grow up. But back when I was a child, or a teen, you know, I was barely a man yet. I fell into the service or the worship of, well, let me ask you this. Who is it, son, that you swear your allegiance to? Who do you worship?
He's gonna put like the pastry down. He's gonna kind of set it aside. My mom didn't really raise me to have an allegiance to really anybody. She just kind of raised me. She told me that gods existed, but she never had a specific allegiance to any one of them.
Yes, well, there's no doubt in that fact. So, what exactly did your mother tell you? You know about the 11 prime domains.
Right.
Have you heard about the minor ones?
A few of them, yeah.
The ones that aren't supposed to exist.
Yeah. She's told me.
Yeah. When one of them gods has their first kid, they inherit the powers of their parents. They take on that domain. If a god has a second, or a third, or a fourth, and so on, child, there's no more prime domain left for them to inherit. So they end up with all this divine power that needs a way to express itself. And this is where those minor domains come from. However, after the War of Influence, the gods made a pact that they would only have one kid, only pass on the prime domain. Of course, over the years, they haven't all kept that promise. Listen, kid, do you believe in fate or destiny?
Yeah, to an extent, yeah.
I do too. You see, back when I was hardly a man yet, I found out about one of these minor domains. I don't know if you've heard of him, the god of fate and destiny. His name is Yernavum. I'll send that in the chat so you can see the spelling of it.
Sweet.
Yrnavum. Yernavum. the god of fate and destiny. And I saw through him a little bit of a preview of my own fate, my own path. I saw a grand adventure. So I left the Umbral Caverns to pursue this destiny. And after wandering the world for about 40 years and getting nothing, I got another dream that I would settle in Rubbleton. So I did, and I waited, and all this time and nothing. So I left Rubbleton. I thought, this can't possibly be right. This vision I saw of me spending out my years here, it's not what I want, regardless of whether it's what's foreseen for me. So I left Rubbleton. And in this time that I left, I fell on desperately hard times. I lost all my money, and I lost me eye. He points up to his right eye. Obviously, this was because I went against my fate. Your Navim had something that he wanted me to do, and I wasn't doing it, so I returned. I swore myself to an oath of redemption for him, and I've been waiting here for about 100 years. And about a couple of weeks ago, I had another vision. You know, I haven't been the greatest steward of your Navim. And coming back into the service of the god, I think he kind of showed me a little bit more about what was next. In this vision, I saw a young boy following a map. And I think it was from this vision that I recognized you from last night. Azel, I think in this dream of mine from your Navim, I saw you. I did my best to redraw the map that I saw in the dream, but cartography isn't my strong suit. He holds up his hands and he goes, I've kind of got the shakes. But I did my best, and he stands up and he walks over to the drawer of a wooden hutch that's kind of behind the table. It has a couple, like, dishes, like fine china on it. He starts digging through the drawer on this hutch, ruffling through papers and forms until he finds what he's searching for. He brings over to you a poorly drawn map of Voreos. However, notably, the kind of standout here is that there is an X drawn into the ruptured stand, and the ruptured stand is a mountain range over here in western Voreos, about in this area, kind of cuts down from this coast, cuts down towards the center. There's an X drawn there. Looks to be a few miles outside of the city of Fenthos. And the X, positioned like this, like the letter X, each of the tips of the X are marked with a letter, N, W, S, and E. Finn says, I'm not sure exactly what this means, but I know that you were meant to see it. So, what do you think? Does this mean anything to you?
Studying a little bit. I don't know if I was rolling for it, but it's kind of like coming to a realization that it's west of the mountain, so he's going to pull out of his book like a sentence, and he's going to open it, and then he's going to read like out loud this The West Army Compass is friend by
Huh.
And he's gonna he's gonna have a really big expression. He's gonna take just within space, and he's gonna kiss him on the cheek. And then just like, I realize that was weird.
Hey!
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Okay. What do I do next?
Are you asking me, son? I don't know.
No, not you. I gotta calm down, Dosis. Hold on.
Take another sip of that, of that ale. It might help calm you.
Yeah. Yeah,
kind of dribbles down your chin and puts a little bit of a damp spot on your shirt.
Yeah. I think this is where my dad wants to go.
Ah.
Sorry. I never met him, so it's kind of complicated.
That, you know, that makes sense. If you don't mind me asking, son, if you've never met your dad, you seem rather intent on following his instructions from a man you've never met.
Yeah, most people have never met them. Apparently, that's never met them. But there's got to be a reason my dad got that. Gonna find out. It's got to be a really good reason, doesn't it, man?
You'd like to think so, wouldn't you? But, you know, kid, I don't think that's always the case.
I don't know.
I don't want you to get your hopes up and end up getting hurt any more than he may have already hurt you by not being there.
Come right here. I'm going to know some way.
All right, well, if you need anything, just let me know. This is the last thing that I saw from your Navum. So, I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing next now, so. If I can help in any way, just let me know if I can be of service. If you find good news or if you end up getting hurt, either way, I'll be there to celebrate or console should you need me to, son.
What's the Navum in reference to?
Well, it was the vision of me sitting here for something. I think this may have been that something, so now I don't know if anything is.
Well, why not come with us? What if that vision was meant to be here all along? If nothing else keeps me here anymore.
Make a persuasion check, Hazel.
Oh, dear God. 17.
His eyes kind of scrunch, and then he looks up at you, and he says, "You know, maybe you're right. I didn't just see me handing you the map. I saw you walking the path following it. At last I checked, I saw visions of my own destiny, not of others."
Exactly.
Why don't you, give me the night to think it over. I'll try and see if I can't talk to your Navum and ask him what he thinks, but you're staying at the Rubble Rouser, correct?
I am.
How about I meet you there in the morning and let you know one way or the other?
That sounds like good. He's gonna put his stuff down. He's gonna kind of have to dust himself all off. Thank you again for dinner.
Yes, I think I've given you a lot to think about, and I think you've given me a lot to think about as well.
Thank you.
Of course.
I'll see you in the morning.
He'll gesture to the Trillimac pods, and he says, take another one for the road.
Yeah, you can grab one.
He says, all right, well, I'll see you in the morning, son.
You too.
Okay. Heading back to the Rebel Rouser?
Yeah.
Okay. Unless you have any other business that you want to attend to elsewhere?
Could I see if the drink is still open?
Yeah. You can go ahead and give that a stop. Again, you have to kind of ask around, but at the Journey's End, people are happy to give you a direction to go to. The Journey's End is kind of the pride and joy of Rebelton. This is what the city was originally created for when the first original founders of Rebelton came here to set off on their adventures across the ancient expanse, looking through ruins and searching for lost mementos and trinkets and secrets of the ancient variety. The Journey's End was a place for them to display their findings and share their information with the world, but also just to brag to everyone about the cool shit that they found. So people in Rebelton, the people that dwell here, are more than happy to share the location of this museum with you. So you're able to find it very quickly. Probably about this time, with the time that you spent at the Stonefort Cafe and the time that you spent eating with Finn, it's probably about 7 p.m., maybe pushing 7:15 at this point that you arrive. When you arrive, something that the people that gave you directions did not mention, the doors are boarded up, and there's a sign that says closed until further notice.
Interesting. Is there anybody around me? Is it just me standing in front of everyone?
The sun is beginning to dip behind the mountains, so it's starting to get a little bit dark. You're kind of in that twilight phase. But there are a couple people on the streets walking back to their houses. Not very many. There's probably 4 people within eyesight of you.
Is there a reason that the Journey's End is closed? Did something happen?
You managed to stop a dwarven man walking by, and he looks up at you and he says, yes, there is. Althor Farthington, the proprietor of the place, his daughter was one of the ones that went missing. So, he felt bad because he was working here when it happened. So he's closed the place up till he gets her back. You know, I kept trying to tell him that it was foolish. He should distract himself by working instead of wallowing in the fear, but I couldn't talk any sense into him. But yeah, old Mr. Farthington has it closed up, probably for good, if he's waiting to get his daughter back.
Well, thank you for answering my question. It's really so sad.
Right. Sorry you couldn't see it.
It's good. I was really, really looking forward to it.
Well, maybe someone will find those kids, and now Thor will open it back up again. Who knows? Great. So, in the meanwhile, Aaron.
Yeah.
You left. You finished up your boar ribs. Nice and full, nice and stuffed. You can still kind of taste it on your mouth as you walk out, just a big smile on your face, fat and happy. And you are heading to the Paladins, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I figured they're going to be the greatest collection of knowledge and resources available. So.
Yeah. Other than maybe Journey's End, but that's probably a knowledge collection more than resources. But yeah, so that's a good idea. So you make your way through town, find your way to the sort of main barracks area for these paladins. You stroll in, and there is someone that you haven't met is kind of at the front desk this time. So you haven't met this particular person. Looks to be a human man, probably in his 40s. He sees you come in, and he says, "Greetings. What can I do for you?"
Yes, I'm part of the task force that you recruited from recently. There's three of us.
Oh, yes.
One member.
The general told me about you.
Oh, good. I hope things stay safe. I just need to come here. I need a little bit of help, especially some resources, and I thought you might be the best way to go for that.
What kind of resources? What kind of resources are you looking for?
I was hoping I might have books of study of any sort of magic. But there is perhaps some components. You see, I feel that we are a little bit overwhelmed and undersized by this task. And Aaron will take us to level and make sure that things collect from these fights and stay. Seems to be fighting at that every turn. And like I said, we're pretty under-resourced. A little bit above our pay grade as is, so any assistance would be helpful.
Okay. Go ahead and make a persuasion check with advantage for me, as you've just dumped a bag of severed hands onto his desk.
Okay. Let's see, persuasion, right?
Yes, please, yeah. Unless you're shooting to intimidate him. Your call.
No. I'll go persuading.
Okay. Oof.
Okay, first one was a 5, but the second one is a 19.
Nice. 19's pretty good. As this pile of severed hands manifests itself on his desk, he's going to say, Oh, I've never quite seen anything like this before. You know, we don't have much in the ways of books of study, but spell components... We do have some of those. What are you looking for in particular?
I think at this point, do you happen to have any diamonds on you?
A couple, you know, but nothing too fancy. How clear are you looking for?
I need one that would be at least capable of refracting the light, especially different elements. Probably one, it'd be about, you know, this size, and he'll just kind of show with his hands the size and explain the quality of a diamond that's worth roughly about 50 gold pieces.
Okay. Yeah, so that's not too big. That's probably, you know, thumb to forefinger. Actually, that's pretty big for a diamond, isn't it? It's probably that big.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's small, like almost pebble-sized for a 50 gold diamond. And he says, oh, yes, we definitely have something of that caliber. You know, we'll just, we'll comp it to the task force. That way, these layabouts about town can't say we never did anything to help find the kids. We helped you help find them.
I think that's wise. That's true. You're helping us helps you in the end, since we seem to be getting a lot of work done. We've covered some ground, and I'll kind of explain the things that we've been able to do up to this point. But
do you mention the Elfrona sisters by name? Working.
No, I likely do not.
Okay.
Mention them just to keep things kind of covered up as much as I can. Don't quite know who to trust. So yeah, I won't mention them by name, but I will say who we stopped by, and I will mention you might want to go check on the family. You know, it's been a little traumatic for them, so that might be worth looking into, is check up on them, see how they're doing.
All right, if we can spare the bodies and spare the time, we'll have someone out that way. But
I think it would be worth your while, but thank you.
Yes, just give me a minute. I'll run back and fetch the diamond for you.
Okay, and I'll call out to him. And any parchment or ink you might have, just of some high quality, if you find some in your reserves.
I think there's some back there. I'll fetch it.
Thank you.
He turns and leaves, and he's not just leaving this area unattended. There are probably four other paladins stationed throughout this room. So it's not like he's just leaving the main foyer of the barracks, you know, the police station here unattended. There are other eyes to watch over this place. He disappears, he's gone for 2 minutes, maybe three, and then he comes back and he has a small pebble of a diamond, and he has a handful of parchment and about three bottles of ink. So I would say, what is the easiest way for me to give this to you to keep track of in your inventory? Do you want quantity or do you want value?
Probably value. I think that's what's measured when you're adding spells as a wizard. I think it's by money, so I can double check that really quick.
Okay. So the value of what he gives you, he's going to give you three bottles of ink, which is probably going to be worth about a gold piece. And he's going to give you a stack of parchment, and this is pretty fine. You can tell this is spellcasting parchment. They probably have a wizard or two that works in their ranks. So I'll say he gives you probably, let's say, 15 gold worth of parchment.
Okay. And then, so 15 gold and then about 1 gold ink?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's the equivalent of like 3 bottles, 3 or 4. I can't say 3 okay, or yeah. 4. 4 bottles. I have to give you an exact number so you can write it down. He gives you 4 bottles of ink, the equivalent of 1 gold.
Okay, yeah. It looks like for each level of a spell, it takes 50 gold pieces, so...
Is that the reduced cost for being a scribe wizard?
I don't think scribe wizards get a reduced cost. I think...
Is it reduced time? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it reduces time. They did used to have a reverse cost, but that got taken out when they published it.
I keep getting it, the official version mixed up with the UA version of it.
Yeah, and that's alright. Yeah, so I think it's just the reduced time.
Oh! So,
yeah, reduced time. And then,
hey, this is a snazzy one. Ink. When you cast a wizard spell as a ritual, you can use the spell's normal casting time. So.
Yeah, I like that.
Keep that in mind for your
text. I didn't use it earlier.
Oh, is it only. Oh, yeah. It is a minimum number of times.
Yeah, it's just once per
okay.
day, I think.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think. The quill that I use to write doesn't
like two minutes,
but they don't. Yeah, they don't correlate that to reduced cost. Okay. So the cost is still 50 per spell. So I'll mark down the parchment 15 gold.
I'll let you add 2 more gold of parchment onto that since you don't need the ink.
Okay, so 17 gold parchment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just since the ink isn't of any use to you.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Well, that is all that I would have needed from him.
Okay. Anything else you want to do while you're out? Anything else you want to check out?
I'll just study from my book and just start practicing a little bit.
Okay.
With this new diamond.
Back at the Rubble Rouser?
Yeah, I'll just go back.
Okay. All right. Alondra, after you finish up your fish, you realize that it is, it's a fish that you can't place. You know, where you grew up was on the coast, so you are accustomed to a lot of seafood.
Right.
But this is a fish that you have not had before, which is an interesting experience for you. You didn't really think that was possible. You're used to over in Ormos, over on the coast over here, you know, you have quite, you know, you have seafood almost more often than you have other kinds of meat or dishes, but this is a new one to you. This is something that you're not used to, and that's kind of refreshing to have something that you have not experienced before. And the fact that you're able to push aside the super intense taste of the seaweed is definitely a plus. But once you finish up, you are heading to the Rubble Rouser, correct? You were going to do some asking around about the Journey's End, I believe?
Yes.
Okay. So you find yourself in the Rubble Rouser. You started eating your fish dinner a little early before dinner, so by the time that you finish up and reach the Rubble Rouser, you are peak dinner rush time here. So the place is packed. Nearly every table is taken. There are probably only one or two open tables, and you can see a couple groups kind of eyeing it, and it's almost like a standoff where they have their eyes locked and they're looking back at the table and back up at each other, about ready to make a mad dash to take the chairs out from one another to claim the last open tables. But so you are here at the peak performance for the Rubble Rouser, which means that you have basically your pick of people your pick of brains to pick.
Sweet. Alondra will probably walk up to the closest group who isn't eating but either waiting to order or have already ordered but are waiting for their food to ask.
Okay. Yeah, so you see a group, they're sitting at a table and they still have menus in hand, so you get the feeling they haven't ordered yet, so you're not interrupting a meal of any kind or anything like that. This is a table. It's got 3 people sitting at it. 2 elves, 1 halfling. By the way that they're kind of joking around, you get that they're probably co-workers. They're talking about, oh, did you see Billy out with that plow in the fields today? Looked like he'd never done a lick of farming in his life. That boy out there. And then everyone laughs and they all clang their mugs together. So you approach this table.
Mm-hmm. She'll approach it and she'll kind of clear her throat and be like, excuse me, I'm new from around here and don't really know my way. Someone told me about an establishment you guys have that may have all sorts of different knickknacks and may even have an interesting chest.
Knickknacks and a chest. And then the halfling speaks up and he says, could you be talking about the Journey's End?
That could be possible. If that's the first thing you thought about, then probably yes.
It's a museum. It's a collection of all sorts of old relics. Does that sound like what you're looking for?
Yes, it does. Thank you. Could you probably give me directions to where I could find this museum?
Yes, I could. Although I'm not sure you'd get much out of it at this point in time.
Why's that?
Well, it's closed down. It has been for a while. I'm not sure when it'll open back up again.
Oh, why is it closed?
Well, you said you're new in town. How long have you been here?
Just came in last night.
Well, I'm not sure if you've heard it or not, but, you know, a bunch of kids have gone missing recently.
Really?
Yes, it's been over the course of about a month, month and a half. Kids have just been disappearing left and right. But the owner or the proprietor of the Journey's End, Althor Farthington, he lost his daughter. She was one of the first ones to go. And ever since she disappeared, he's had the place closed down. He says he can't stomach to go back in.
Oh, that's terrible news. How many kids have gone missing?
Total?
Total.
Ah. You know, I couldn't give you a number estimate. I don't have kids myself, so I don't keep track of the little ones in town too much. But, you know, it seems like, usually you'd see them on every street corner playing a game or chucking rocks or passing carts or something. But, hardly any left, it seems. Maybe about half of the total. So, and then one of the elves that he's sitting with speaks up and says, if I were to wager a guess, I would say probably 30 kids have gone missing so far.
30?
Yes, it started off slow. In the first week, we only lost 3 the first disappearance, and it's been steadily ramping up since then. Last time, we lost 6 in one night.
Whoa. Who do you suppose is taking these kids?
From what I've heard, there's no traces left behind. No clues. They have no idea. They just disappear in the night. I'm not sure, but I've heard rumors that the stone forts are cooking them up. I've heard that there's a wizard passing by town and teleporting them all away. It's all just rumors. There's no evidence behind any of it.
Really? No evidence?
No, I mean, it's not my job to investigate, but unless the paladins are sitting on something big over there that they haven't shared with us, no. Nothing that we've heard.
Aren't you interested to find out?
Yes, be it out of curiosity or empathy for children that have gone missing, but I don't have any myself, so for now it's just morbid curiosity more than anything else.
Yes, morbid curiosity.
One of the other, the third figure, the second elf there, speaks up and almost kind of breaks, kind of chokes, and a little bit of tears start to come down. And his friends kind of look and they say, "Ah, what's wrong? What are you doing?" And the second elf says, I didn't tell you guys. I couldn't bring it up, but just last week we lost Annabeth. She disappeared." And his friends, their eyes go wide, and they're like, oh gods, we're so sorry, we had no idea. we wouldn't have spoken so callously about it if we'd known. And they start reaching out, and they're, like, hugging their friend, and this elf is just kind of crying now at the table, and people in the tavern kind of stop and are looking over and just kind of hang their heads because they've seen this too many times at this point. A family's missing their children. People kind of walk up, and pretty soon there's a crowd of like 10 people, and they're all patting this this elf man on the back, rubbing his back, you know, telling him it'll be all right.
You said you lost your child last week. I'm curious if this brings you much more hurt, but I'm curious. I didn't mention it before, just trying to figure out what the rumors you count how people have, but I'm part of the little group that the Paladins have whipped up, and I'm curious to know, did these people leave that choice? Did you hear anything that night that and
that
was taken?
No, I didn't hear anything. It was such a shock. We tucked her in, and just like everyone else, when we went back in the morning, she was gone. At this point, you know, we're telling everyone to start keeping watch, just setting up, and but it's so hard when we've all got jobs. You can't find time to not sleep and just stare at your kids all night. But no, I mean, her room was, the sheets were tossed off at the end of the bed. But other than that, it's just the same story that everyone's been telling. She saw her sheets off to one side, her little wooden horse off on the other, clattered on the floor.
Wooden horse?
Yeah, she loved that toy. She loved it so much. I locked it away in a box we have at the house. I couldn't bear to look at it. It just made me think of her.
I'm so sorry. That must be terrible. You say this was a wooden horse. Did you make it for her, or how did you acquire it?
No. We got it for her from the Elfrona sisters the last time they were in town.
Is there any way I can get it? Look at this wooden horse.
I guess so, if it would help you.
It would. The other children in the Barley Roots also had wooden horses. And I don't know if that's a long shot, but there's similarities, and any little thing could help us find our children and stop us from happening to the other ones.
Okay. If you'll help, I'll take you. Oh, gosh.
I will find your daughter, give you some peace to what happened to her.
Thank you. He looks around at his friends, and he says, I'll see you guys tomorrow. And his buddies get up, and the other male elf gives him this big hug, and the little halfling man gives him a hug around the leg, and they say, just hang in there. If you need a day off tomorrow, we'll understand if you don't want to come in. Take all the time you need. And he says, thank you. You're such good friends. And he'll turn and he'll lead you out to his to his place of residence, which is not too far. He'll lead you in, and he will... This is a pretty standard house. Looks to be bigger than the Barley Roots house.
Okay.
A couple more bedrooms. This actually has a second story. But nothing too fancy either. And he will lead you upstairs into the attic.
Okay.
He'll take this wooden chest and he'll fumble with the key ring that he has in his pockets, and his hands are kind of trembling, and his tears have kind of dried up now, but his face is flushed and red from crying recently. And he unlocks the chest and opens it up, and there's a number of just kind of old knickknacks and boxes. Looks like maybe some seasonal decorations for various holidays, things like that. And then there's also a carved wooden toy that looks to be the same style as the one that the Barley Root kids had.
Okay. I will take it from the woman's hand, and in her right hand starts trembling. She closes her eyes, flashes of that night come through her memories, and she tries to go back to where she is right now, currently trying to deal with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
She'll reach out to that man and be like, I recently lost the closest brother, and I don't know if that's happening to her, but I can feel your sorrow, and I've been there, but I hope I can try and find some solutions. And with that, just being in that day, I'm not even going to roll for it, but he is going to, he's going to need divine sense.
Okay.
And just see if he picks up on anything, whether it's from the wooden figure or anything from the
If you go to Features and Traits, find Divine Sense. If you click on it, it should bring up all of
the... 60 feet.
Okay, 60 feet. Celestial fiend or undead within 60 feet of you, as well as the presence of any place or object that has been consecrated or desecrated. Okay, so there are no fey, fiend, or undead creatures within 60 feet of you. However, the horse itself, while maybe not affected by the hollow spell specifically, you definitely get the sense that this item is unholy. This item has an aura about it that is just kind of rubbing you the wrong way once you activate that divine sense. Something about this wooden horse seems off.
So, I should show this to Aaron, he'll know better. And then she'll turn to the man and be like, if it's okay, I'd like to take this for the wooden horse with me now. I'll run in it. Hopefully it'll be with your daughter, but I'll still return in it. Either way. Thank you for everything, and I'm sorry that I caused you to be right tonight to bring the conversation to you, the missing children.
He says, if you think that taking the horse will help, please do. And no need to apologize. If I hadn't kept it so bottled up, I probably wouldn't have reacted in that way. And if If you hadn't taken the stopper out of that bottle, then, you know, you may not have, I may not have found someone willing to help, so thank you. Thank you. Okay. So at this point in time, you all are back at the taverns. You've all arrived at kind of different times and made your way off to do your different things. You guys can go ahead and... I don't know if anyone is missing any spells or anything like that, but everyone go ahead and long rest. That's where we'll go ahead and call this episode of Dungeon Stories for tonight. But go ahead and long rest so that you're charged up for when we pick up next episode. And we'll pick up in the morning after the long rest when next we meet. All right, well, everyone, thank you so much for listening to Dungeon Stories. It means the world to us. If you are watching us on YouTube, go ahead and like and subscribe and leave comments. We'd love to interact with you that way. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us a rating. It really helps out the show. And regardless of how you are consuming Dungeon Stories media, please tell your friends about it, and your family, and your dogs. Whoever will listen, please tell them about Dungeon Stories. It really just helps us out of the show if you spread the word. Especially your dogs. We want our audience to be 70% dogs, 30% people. That's what we're shooting for. So, and speaking of your dogs, feel free to tag Dungeon Stories in photos of your dogs so that we can see how cute they are. All right. Everyone, thank you again so much for listening to Dungeon Stories. It means the world. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.